talk about, what I want to talk about is some of the monitoring spatial variability in your soil moisture, salinity, hardness, and turf stress. Some of the, just the applications and protocols talked about are applied to turf grass areas. Most, this is work that's been funded from the Toro Company, the Center for Advanced Turf Technology, co-authored, which were listed there earlier. And the testing sites include several golf courses and sports fields. In golf courses particularly, this is where we do a lot of our testing because it really gives us the highest level of challenge in terms of spatial variability. Many of our golf courses, during construction and that, you have a lot of construction moving of soils. You also have a lot of contouring, of different, you know, grasses, different areas. So we have a lot of challenges there in terms of spatial variability. And so if we can deal with that on a golf course, you can bring it down to other levels that are easier to deal with. I'm not going to get into great details in terms of studies. We're going to talk a lot about concepts today. But essentially what we're doing is approaching very much like precision agriculture. We just call that precision turf grass management. There's similarities and there's differences, though, between these. Some of the similarities, if you look at overall purposes in the whole area of precision agriculture, just the very general, broad purposes and goals, one of them is to increase input efficiency, and certainly we would, that's one of our goals. And we're looking really at this sort of application. What I'm talking about here is really an application to finally get down to the end user, okay? So that's what we're thinking about. And you'll see that when we get to the area of protocols, because we're trying to take it down to the end user. But in this area of input efficiency, certainly where you apply your inputs and how much and when to apply it, otherwise site-specific management, that's an overall goal. We can use, sometimes we may use spatial mapping in order to minimize non-point solution, our pollution movement. Salinity is one of my interests in that area. In turf grass management, there's a lot of movement toward the use of lower water quality for irrigation purposes. And we also have grasses that can tolerate, like such as seashore pastbalum, that can tolerate considerably higher salinity. And so we see those grasses used where there is poor water quality and salinity becomes an issue. Certainly to evaluate and improve soil quality, foster sustainable production, enhance crop performance, all those things that would be overall purposes or goals for traditional precision agriculture would also be true for turf grass situations. Also, some of the similar concepts in components. Site-specific management versus whole field management is a moving away from managing a whole field in this way. If we're thinking of a golf course, like a fairway, do you manage that whole fairway or an athletic field or some other turf area the same over the whole area, or can we start dividing it into much more site-specific management on a very logical approach? So that means we have to identify the specific sites on some basis that makes sense, and to break up our areas into these what we call site-specific management units. We'll talk about those in just a minute, and I'll define that a little bit better. Another concept or component of precision ag, as well as precision turf grass management, is doing spatial mapping to obtain more information, characteristics of uniformity, including characteristics and also the uniformity of these characteristics. And I'll begin to talk about these two together in just a second. One of the important things this is also to develop particular specific protocols for each application. And one of the precision ag meetings, I think it was either 2003 or 2004, that a lot of the discussion there was different people's done different spatial mapping and different applications, different equipment, different way they've approached it. and how can they make some sense out of it in terms of maybe trying to develop better protocols? And out of that, then, Corn and Leach out of the Salinity Lab, the Salinity Lab presented a couple of papers in computers and electronics. These are the two papers there. One of them has to do with in precision agriculture using developing some of their specific protocols in order to get the most information. And I'll define, and those protocols included the widest definitions of protocol, all the way from what's appropriate equipment, all the way to the statistical handling of the data, obtaining the data, statistically handling the data, right on down. So that's what we're also are interested in, is protocols all the way from the equipment to actually information for the end user. Another common component is dependent on sensor technology and GPS and GIS, these sorts of things. Let's site-specific management units. Okay, because this is one of the protocols. Here's an agricultural field, you can break that based on, this is remote sensing data here, but here's a golf course fairway, and this is a green here, but in either case, you try to break these areas, this whole field, into sub-areas. And this would be the same thing for that we would be looking at in terms of turf grass. And this happens to be based on mapping volumetric water content. And right after rainfall, after 2-inch rainfall, a few hours after that, on standing site. And you can see the site's pretty variable in terms of water content. Less than 5%, over to 30% in terms of volumetric water content. And then how to break that into some site-specific or sub-management units based on your initial mapping information. Just as a little bit of background, a non-saline site, the things like texture and slope, organic matter, and other stable factors are what determines your site-specific management unit. So if you're on a non-saline site, you're trying to characterize by stable, I mean they don't change, okay? Texture doesn't change over time. Organic matter doesn't change appreciably over time. However, if you're talking about saline sites, whether you're talking about precision ag or whether you're talking about precision turf grass management, the site-specific management units for salinity will be different, okay? And salinity is a changing factor. And so that's important to keep in mind if you have salinity on a site for some reason, is that you may define site-specific management units based on the salinity that are not all that related to your other factors, okay? We'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about some of the protocols used or some of the equipment used like in precision agriculture versus some of the approaches we're taking. Just keep that in mind as one of the factors. Okay, this is one of the first, what I would call field applications. Is one of the, and I'll come back out with that point a little bit later, a field. You know, if you're going to map spatial mapping, you ought to have very specific reasons to do that. If you're thinking about particularly the end user, and that's going to determine your protocols and your approach. And certainly, if you're looking at trying to look at these sorts of units on a non-saline site, you would not want the irrigation system necessarily influencing it. So you might map after a rainfall, for example. Okay, that would be one example of a protocol that. One of the important reasons to manage these is because these will become your different management sites. This could be from irrigation scheduling. These sites that have lower water content versus higher ones can have a different irrigation schedule. Okay? There could be other management factors that would be different too. One of the other reasons why it's important to deal with the site-specific management units is because these are the ones that can make sense out of where you put in-place sensors, okay? If you're going to put in, there's a number of sensors, soil moisture sensors, soil salinity sensors that could be placed, whether you're talking about an agricultural field or whether you're talking about a forage area or whether you're talking about a turf area, but where you place them makes a big difference. If you come out there and you don't have a particular map, you just kind of put in several ones that are kind of randomly across there, what you've got is a whole bunch of random values, okay? Some of them could be in very dry areas, some of them could be in higher moisture. But this starts to tell you where you can place those sensors. For example, on a golf course, maybe there's 4 to 6 different site-specific management units scattered across the club. So if you know where those are, you can pick out certain ones that will be your key indicators for all of the other similar site-specific management units, for example. So, because this is a question you get in terms of in-place sensors that give you real-time data and data by depth, but how many of those are you going to put out there? It becomes a real issue. And what do they represent? Okay, with that, let's look at some of the differences in terms of precision ag versus precision turf management. One thing is turf allows us easier access on the site. We can get on that site, we can map during dry downs, after rainfall, after an irrigation event, to give you more maps to look at and can show how things change over time. And we can irrigate, we can do it during repeated times over the season. We don't have a yield, so we rely a lot on normalized vegetation index, NDVI for our normalized difference vegetation index, NDVI, to give us turf performance, okay, to give us an idea of turf performance. But we can do that, you know, several times over the year. We can do it during dry downs and so on. Sensor arrays and approaches may vary. Okay, for precision agriculture, the electrical magnetic induction method has been the traditional one to use both on saline and non-saline sites. If it's a saline site, electrical magnetic induction gives you, I'm talking about saline, it gives you a measure of apparent electrical conductivity in the soil. The zone is normally about a 12-inch zone, and our units can give you 2 different zones. Than that, it's non-destructive. It is a weighted average over that, so it's not a true average across it. It's weighted. In turf grass, it is non-destructive. I mean, it's non-invasive. And in turf grass, we often want narrower zones. Okay, and we may be looking at the other major alternative, which is electrical resistivity or resistance, usually by what they call a forward or right probe. You're measuring electrical resistance, and they use 4 equally spaced probes. You charge the outside, read the voltage difference on the inside probes. And like Rhodes out of the salinity lab, when he developed some of the initial field mapping devices, he had both of these units. This unit is not used very much in traditional agriculture, except there is a commercial unit out by Varis, and actually there's one down here in the show, that uses coulters or discs as the electrodes. And one of the problems with in traditional agriculture, with that forward array, is that if you've got a dry zone, like you often do in many agricultural fields, then you've got to get into the moist zone, otherwise you're not going to get readings. So that's why they got coulters, okay? Got into it. Okay, on turf, if we're talking about irrigated turf, if we take these measurements sometime after irrigation, usually between about 100% field capacity down to about 6 feet, you don't have much effect. Then it drops off real quick, then you do have an effect. So within a day or two after in irrigation, then we can go in and use this sort of a method here. You only have to put your probes in about an inch. Okay, and then the spacings, the forewarner array, determine how deep you make those measurements. So if you have 10 centimeters between your probes, you measure roughly 10 centimeters in the soil. If you put 20 centimeters between your probes, 20 centimeters. And it's a true average over that zone, so you can subtract and work out the zones, what it is by zone. So this is, we may have different methods. Now the electrical AEM, if it's saline, it's measuring salinity. But if you don't have salinity, then the next thing that influences it is soil texture, soil moisture. So in traditional ag, they're really using EM on non-saline sites to estimate soil texture, soil moisture holding capacity, okay? If it's a saline site, it's a direct measurement of apparent electrical conductivity. With ER, we're going in and reading essentially the salinity. So that would be one. So we could do the same thing except with a different instrumentation. What we've been doing on non-saline sites is really looking at volumetric water content by TDR, just directly measuring volumetric water content. So the technology may be different in the two approaches. Okay, in terms of applications, so then one of the things on spatial mapping, you look at the applications of this. The ones we're most interested is in terms of very big overall applications is how can we apply this to improving water use efficiency conservation? Otherwise, how can we improve irrigation design and scheduling? And then another one is salinity monitoring and management, soil compaction, and then there can be other things that will come on, but we're looking at the, you know, kind of in this order. This is the big one. If you look a little bit more specific in this water use efficiency or conservation area, then really what you're getting down to is irrigation, things to improve irrigation design or scheduling. So what would you look in terms of field applications to do this? So we've kind of broken it down into six areas. Each of these may have a different protocol, somewhat different protocol, but it depends on if you're going to map for the end user, you need to have a specific reason, not just a general reason. This will help you with improve your irrigation. You have to look at very specific things and then map for that, you know, the right condition. So one of them would be to just map to identify easily correctable design or scheduling problems. And Dr. Van Klein, who has done most of my mapping has been in a course, a golf course on Florida, on a particular site. Van, he mapped four or five different states around the country on a different situations. It's not unusual to get in, and if you're mapping a course or fairway, for example, you might find an area that's very much higher moisture content and another area that's lower moisture content over an area. Now is that soil differences? Or is it simply irrigation scheduling differences? And that's why you need to map, for example, after rainfall to take out some of these things, because they had a classic example on one particular course. It was simply the irrigation schedule was set, put a lot more water in one site. One site got really more water than it needed, and the other site didn't get as much. And so that would be an example of an irrigation scheduling issue. If you always see the highest moisture in a particular area and lower moisture over here, is it soil texture or is it a scheduling? Other things that show up differences in terms of maybe even some single head malfauna not performing. It identifies areas to go out and look at on a site. To validate what is the problem. Doesn't necessarily tell you what the problem is, just points you to specific areas to look at. Okay, another one is to identify these site-specific management units, and I mentioned that earlier. Also, what about evaluation of system design right now? An evaluation of irrigation uniformity, it's primarily catch can methods. You're only going to do that on limited sites. And so an alternative would be to use volumetric water content measurements and to evaluate wall to wall. And one of the main ways, not the only type of statistics, like some the previous speaker talked about some of the different descriptive statistics or statistical approaches, then the idea is we need to come up with what's the best way to deal with that. But one of the statistics that can be used is distribution uniformity. That's what's used for if you were doing catch can. Distribution uniformity of the irrigation system, you take the lower quarter average and then the average over the whole of the amount of water that's in the cans, the lower quarter readings, and then all of the readings and the percent divided that in there, multiplied by 100, so you get a value of say 70% or 80%, and that's your distribution uniformity. The higher is the higher the number, the better it is, and that's used for to evaluate design effective uniformity of the system. If you take distribution uniformity of the lower half, that's actually used for irrigation scheduling to modify the runtime modifier to take into account non-uniformity of the site. So those are ways, some of the types of data we might look at in terms of trying to evaluate uniformity of a system. These others, one of the issues on new systems, one of the ways to improve new system design would be to maybe routinely evaluate them after they're put in, okay? But you could talk to irrigation designers maybe for several years trying to get them to improve, but if you have a systematic way that would work to evaluate a system, at the same time helping the turf manager to be able to know how to utilize, many times these irrigation systems are complex, how to efficiently use it, it's a training tool. Could be a double thing. So these are already mentioned about this one, and there's other potential too in terms of some of these. Okay, the site-specific management units, we said we already talked about, so I'm not going to... Sorry, on the specific applications for salinity, these would be all of the ones I just mentioned previously had to do with the irrigation system, to improve the irrigation system for water use and conservation, applies just as well as salinity. You know, the major management practice in order to control salinity is leaching. And if you can't do it uniformly and efficiently, then you're not going to have salinity control. So that's the most important factor. After that, to be able to determine your spatial and temporal patterns, to know where to leach, how much to leach, and what areas. That changes, can change from season to season. Map afterwards for the effectiveness, and so on. So these are some of the specific things you might look for salinity. Compaction, when we take the TDR measurements, measure the pressure of those units going into the ground, and that becomes a map for compaction or penetrometer resistance. Okay, so on protocols. So one of the things, you look at those specific applications. So whatever the specific application is, we need protocols. And that starts off with having the right equipment that can give you. Of course, that can be an evolving thing, but you have to have the right equipment first. And we've been using one of the mobile units. This would be used on non-saline sites, measured volumetric water content and surface 4 inches. Also NDVI, the Green Seeker, and penetrometer resistance, it's GPS. There's a GPS unit. The second one, this is one we're under development. We're still doing a little bit of testing on it, getting some of the kinks worked out. This is electrical resistivity. Use it to measure your electrical bulk of our apparent electrical conductivity using the 400 array. Also does NDVI and GPS. This we can use on saline. We're most interested on saline sites. You can measure salinity at 3 different depths. But you can also turn around and use it on non-saline sites as an alternative to the volumetric water content, because that's what traditional ag is doing. Okay, so you can use the same similar approach. Okay, and example of the volumetric water content on this particular fairway here. This just shows the number of on this particular fairway is about 550 readings. And the NDVI reads so you got about three times the readings. So you get a lot of points. If you're going to put catch cans out there, you've got 550 catch cans. Okay, this is approximately an 8 to 10 foot, or about 2.5 to 3 meter spacing. Okay, depends on your speed. Takes maybe 45 minutes, 35, 45 minutes for typical fairway. Okay, so then you end up with your volumetric water content data, and then this is after 2 inch rainfall. So here's your NDVI. This is just for a few hours after the rainfall, very sandy site. Okay, so you got quite a lot of uniformity. You've got a couple little areas here. Also look like they relate to here. Okay, so we start looking at these relationships of volumetric water content and plant performance, turf performance. Here's what it looks 2 days later, and some pictures to show some of the stress on that's this one's from this area, that one's from this area here. You do see some at this particular time, you saw some visual. Just going real quickly here, but this is on the first day. Top one's volumetric water content. This is NDVI, and if you start thinking of these patterns, particularly keep your eye on these two places right here, okay? If we go 2 days later, which we're dropping way down on our water content across the area, and these are getting more, very low. Here's 4 days later. You're starting to get some real hot spots here. This is NDVI, hard to read, I think, from there. This red one's 0.55, and that's 0.85. Okay, so that's pretty good spread in terms of. So we can get multiple maps like that, and that you can see by looking at dry down, you can see do some of these areas increase or not increase? You know, do they just stay fairly stable? This is a salinity monitor, and that we're testing right now. And this is painted by hand. Area about 90 by 60 foot every 10 feet. But this shows you that this button was by four Werner array. Okay, and this shows you the type of data. This is the surface. This is an area irrigated by 6,000 parts per million salinity irrigation water. So there's some accumulation occurring. This is the surface 4 inches or 10 centimeters. You see a hot spot here. 10 desiccator readers, anything like that's above at least a quarter seawater. Actually, some of them went out to about 25. But so you can see some spatial variability there in terms of salinity in that zone. The next zone down, see these are kind of little point sources here. And then that zone, the next one down, is pretty clean. But there's a zone of accumulation. You want that zone of accumulation below your root system so it wouldn't go back up if you stopped irrigating or for some reason got the capillary rise back up.
What do we got? Dennis?
Pardon?
Okay.
So we're essentially, our practice is developed with the equipment, then we can start looking at these other, and that's what we're at right now, taking very specific situations and for particular field applications and working through to develop the protocols for situations where we want to evaluate just the site-specific management units, other situations where you got poor, we know we have a poor irrigation system to evaluate the irrigation uniformity. Other cases, we're trying to locate where to put sensors, but going all the way through and when you get down into this area here, I mean, we're usually scientists, we're sticking in here, but you ultimately have to, if you have an end user with this sort of data, you have to be able to come up, somehow condense it and make sense of it. So you can present it. I'm sure you're going to run into this in 4-inch, okay? Because you've got to be able to give it to them. They can quickly see the use of it. That's why I think it's very important to identify very specific applications, whether in your case you're talking about yield or what. So, and certainly there's a lot of other potential. If you look down, at least in the Varus display down there, you'll see they've got literature and devices where they're mapping pH. They're using some of the near-infrared spectroscopy methods to estimate other things like organic matter, things like that, spatially. So this is an area I think we're going to continue to see a lot more moving into the practical realm. Questions?
Yeah, that one quick question about this. Go ahead.
Yes.
I don't know if I missed something, but your moisture content, soil moisture content, is something that you do on a point-by-point basis.
Yeah, it's a mobile device.
So, and you do a big 500 for the whole
thing? Yeah, for the whole, yeah. On that particular fairway there, maybe 35 minutes.
500?
Yeah, 35, 40 minutes. So we're not, so we're trying to do it fairly close together, not worried so much about, you know, our spacing. We're trying to come pretty close together. Yeah, and we have to do that on a lot of turf grass situations.